I've been sick this week. I didn't know if I'd be able to do this or not. And yet, I didn't know, is the devil opposing me to come up and preach this message? Or am I supposed to let John preach today? John, are you ready? But it appears that God's given me the voice this morning to be able to do this. So I think that the topic and what we're going to talk about could have some importance and applicability for all of us. So the message entitled Lessons from the Life of David, Psalm 56, more specifically, how did David learn to handle fear? Now, just to sort of set it in context, this is a young David we're looking at. This is David. Psalm 56 was written by a 25-year-old David. This isn't the David and Bathsheba. That's another 15 years from now. So this is a very young David. He's a young man. And keep that in mind as we go through and see the things that the Holy Spirit and God are using to teach him, to prepare him for what's ahead. David the king did not start out as a prince, nor was he in line to be king. In fact, he was the youngest son of the Hebrew Jesse and was given the lonely, tedious job of herding sheep, while his older brothers were off to war with the Philistines. David's younger years are hardly how you would envision the training of a king. The reason David became the king was that God had chosen him. That's the only reason. God worked uniquely in David's life to train him for what he would face in accomplishing God's will for him. God's working in your life to train you to accomplish the things He has for you to do in all of our lives. My question to all of us today is, are we committed to doing God's will for our lives? If so, what are the obstacles that we continually face? There are many. But what I want to focus on today is fear. Fear will keep us from accomplishing those things that God has called us to do with our lives. How are we dealing with fear? You notice I didn't ask, do you have fear? I said, how are we dealing with fear? You know why? We all have fears. We all have things that we worry about. When we wake up in the night, when we have night terrors. I think everybody here can relate to those things. In our culture today, it seems that there's a tremendous amount of fear. What is fear? Fear is the emotional response to a perceived threat, danger, or harm. It has also been referred to as the response of the heart to what it believes has the greatest power to affect its future. Some of the worries common to many are fear of death, poor health, loss of loved ones, financial worries, the state of the economy, wars and rumors of wars, and the latest political scandal. For those who are younger, there's the fear of failing in school, not making good enough grades. Fear of boys, fear of girls. Yeah, that's a good one. Fear of my clothes or my makeup causing others to laugh at me, and fear of my parents' reactions to my behavior, bait boys. For the oldest of us, there may be fear of not being able to take care of oneself, running out of money, fear of loneliness, fear of assisted living, fear of hospice care. Any of these fears can cause anything from loss of sleep to panic attacks, and even worse, suicide. For certain, fear can cause us to stop doing those things that God is working in our lives to do. Those struggling with fear may find themselves not trustful of anyone or anything and becoming paralyzed, staying at home and worrying. I have heard the old saying that so-and-so worried themselves to death. There's truth in that statement. However, we live in a time when there's never been better medical care, better crop production, more oil production, safer automobiles, better food, more comforts than previous generations could imagine. We have information in detail only seconds away and organized for us by artificial intelligence. In fact, we have been captivated by electronic devices that continually entertain and keep us occupied. It's a cycle that many fall into and they cannot turn their brain off. We are addicted to external stimulation, and our smart devices provide just that. We panic if we can't find our phone. Anybody panic this morning and couldn't find your phone? Anybody turn around and go home and get your phone? I mean, I do the same thing. I get at the end of the driveway. Oops, go get it. It's kind of pitiful, isn't it? But it's sort of the world we live in. We panic if we can't find our phone and are insecure if we're not constantly available to others. It has created an isolated existence without much human interaction for many and has added to depression and daily struggles. So what can we learn from David? David has been fleeing from King Saul and his army for at least 10 years, and he has learned much about fear. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 56, and let's look at verse 3 just for a moment, where David says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." How many of you taught this to your children when they were small? How many of you young people know this verse? "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." Think with me about the life of David up to this point. David was the youngest of 8 brothers in the house of Jesse. Samuel had rejected Saul for disobeying the clear command that he was to strike the Amalekites to utter destruction for opposing the Israelites on their journey from Egypt. Instead of Saul obeying and destroying everything, he spared Agag, the king of Amalek, and took the spoils of the battle, the sheep, the oxen, and the best things, and kept them with the excuse being they would be sacrificed to the Lord. Based on his disobedience, Samuel removed him as king and chose David in his place. God let Samuel know that David was the one chosen to be the king. He is described in 1 Samuel 18:15 as not only being a skillful musician, but, this is David, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. David, by his own admission, had fought a lion and a bear in defending his sheep. So here we have David, a mighty man of valor, a courageous warrior, a man of strength and ability that was capable and honorable, yet with all these qualities, he admits that he struggles with fear. He says, "When I am afraid," not "if I am afraid," he says, "when I am afraid." So one thing to encourage us is that even David was at times afraid. It helps us to realize that fear is not a sign of a lack of spirituality, but is a normal response in many situations. How we handle fear is what is most important. David finds himself in a struggle as Saul, who is jealous and fearful of the threat to his throne, wants to kill him. David has captured the hearts of many in the kingdom, and they are singing his praises. Saul had killed thousands, but David 10,000s. This begins a 10-year period where he is in constant danger and flees. David, under constant pressure from the pursuit of Paul's forces, must leave Israel and flees to Gath, which was the home of the Philistines. And it says in 1 Samuel 21:12 that he was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. This is when David writes Psalm 56, which is known as a miktam of David, when he was captured by the Philistines in Gath. With this context in mind, let's quickly review Psalm 56 to see what David was learning in this period in his life. That term miktam could be a mystery poem or it could be a musical term. We really aren't sure exactly what a miktam is. But Psalm 56 says, "Be gracious to me," verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" This has been David's life since he was playing the harp for Saul, and Saul hurled a spear at him. It began a period of David fleeing from the presence of Saul under pressure from his pursuers. But here David acknowledges that God is teaching him how to deal with his fear. You see, verse 3, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." You see, being afraid is not something to be ashamed of. But it should be a reminder to all of us that when we are afraid, we need to trust in God. God gives grace and mercy for every situation. We find strength to move forward when we follow God's prescription, which David has discovered. David learned to keep going and trust God for the outcome. In 2001, a miniseries was released by HBO called Band of Brothers. Anybody remember Band of Brothers? It was the history of Easy Company, 506 Parachute Infantry Regiment, 101st Airborne Division, the Screaming Eagles, from their training in 1942 until the end of World War II. The primary character of the series was Dick Winters, who served as an officer in the regiment for the entire period. In one battle, Easy Company was making a movement to contact when the enemy cut loose with machine gun fire right in front of them. The instinct was to hit the ground in fear and get as low as possible. The problem here is that you become a fixed target, and then the enemy can call in artillery and mortar fire on your position, and that ends up being the end of your unit. When Easy Company hit the ground, Lieutenant Winters, by sheer determination and grit, got them up and moving quickly into the fight. When I say he got him up, he started screaming, kicking, yelling, jumped up, "Move up, move up, move up," and they followed him. And they got off the field. They were able to move through. The companies on either side stayed put, frozen in fear, and took much greater casualties. When fear comes, we must keep moving and trusting God. You see, our tendency when fear comes is to paralyze. Gretchen used the term that fear cripples. It cripples us. We can't do anything. All we can do is dwell on that which we're afraid of. But you can see here that the right thing to do is to keep moving. And that's the right thing for us, as we're seeking to do the things in our lives that God presents to us. And let me tell you, life is all about seeing what God is doing and trying to participate with Him in what He's doing. not to force Him to participate with us in what we want to do. Just continue to pray. That's why it's so wonderful to me to see young people have opportunities presented to them to go and work at camp, and then they do it. They go. Because the Lord provided an opportunity, and they did. And it was hard. It's one of the hardest things that they did. And all of them, they're sitting there nodding their heads right now. Yes, it is. It's hard. And by the way, it's good to see all of you back today that are back from camp. But as a matter of interest, just so you would know, and these are things that are starting to get away from us. Dick Winters did his basic training in Spartanburg at Camp Croft. Have any of you heard of Camp Croft? Have you heard of Croft State Park? Well, did you know there were 250,000 young men trained for basic training in Spartanburg at Camp Croft? And did you know that Easy Company, that the miniseries was made about, came and trained at Camp Tocoa, just an hour and 15 minutes up the road in the Georgia mountains. And there's a museum there all about Easy Company. I mean, to me, I just think that's fascinating. And we never should forget. And the story of Easy Company is really the story of a whole generation of a country that answered the call to try to stop totalitarianism in this world. So there's a museum there today that's worth the visit. But in verse 4, he goes on, he says, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. And then, what can flesh do to me?" When fear overwhelms us, we need to go to God's word and read it. Meditate on it. Believe it. And in that exercise, God will use His word along with His Spirit to give us courage to act and strength to keep moving. You see it? Keep moving. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't hunker down. But keep moving. You're going to find the things that God has called you to do, you're going to face opposition in every circumstance. And the answer to that is trust in the Lord and keep moving. Finish the job. Now, let's look at verse 5. "All day long they injure my cause." This is Saul and his army and all these people that are pursuing David. "They injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited on my life. For their crime, will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God." Here we see military terms being used. Lurk, watch my steps, waited for my life. These all point to the intensity in which David was being pursued. David is trusting God to cast down those who are opposing him. The next verse shows how much God is engaged with what is happening with David personally in his inner struggles. Verse 8. "You have kept count of my tossings," or "you have kept count of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle, are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me." See, God has His eye on David's every move. He is aware of the emotion that David feels. God is recording every moment in His book. David is not being pursued because he did anything wrong. This is a young David who is being rejected by his king and driven from his best friend out of hatred based on jealousy. However, he has learned to call on the name of the Lord in trust, and God has proven to him time and time again that he is for him. Think of the wonderful statement, "This I know, that God is for me." Well, if God is for me, what else do I need? If God is for me, what else do I need? What an encouragement that as you are in the will of God and following God, and He's for you. And it doesn't matter what the opposition is. No one else may show concern or care for me, but God is for me. Verse 10. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid again. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. David reemphasizes his dependence on the word of the Lord and that he trusts in God and knows that man cannot go beyond what God allows in dealing with him. Did you hear that? Man cannot go beyond what God allows. What can man do to me? In God he trusts and looks to him for safety and protection. And finally, the benediction of the psalm. For you have delivered, verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So David sings of his deliverance. Not only has he been delivered from death, but rather than falling, God has continued to lead him down the path of accomplishing God's will, one step at a time, in the light of a life dedicated to God's purpose. Now, you may say, but Bert, David made mistakes. Was David perfect? No, not at all. But David is learning to trust God when he is afraid. He continually moves forward in every situation as God instructs him. This is unlike Saul, who continually disobeyed God and was removed from power. What a blessing for David to learn these lessons as a young man. Much of what we learn comes with hardship and trials that we all go through. The question is, are we trusting in God? The application here is simple. If we are going to accomplish God's will for our life, it starts by being rightly related to Him. Are you certain of your salvation? Have we become followers of Jesus? Do we know Him as our Savior? If so, that is the first step. If you are unsure, then will you consider turning to Jesus and asking Him to open your understanding and to do a work in your heart? If indeed you're certain you are a believer, but struggle with fear and anxiety, then perhaps you want to follow David's prescription of searching the Word daily to look for those continual lessons from the Scriptures about how God delivers and has done extraordinary things in people's lives. This will help your unbelief and help you to gain the confidence to trust in Him and to not be afraid. God loves us, and He knows our every move, our every tear, our every struggle. We must follow the example of Jesus Christ when He said in John 5:30, now listen to this, this is Jesus, "I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." will you trust in Him? Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, and may You work in each of our lives to examine ourselves to see where do we stand with You. Are we trusting in You? Are we seeking to do Your will? Lord, are we crippled and paralyzed by fear? Lord, I'm trusting You that You will take Your word and do a great work today among all of us. Help us to love You with our whole hearts. Help us to seek You. We do thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.